Welcome to everyone to our service of worship for the 24th of May in this year of our Lord 2020. And we pray that the Lord will bless us as we worship him, whether we be with our families or we be alone, yet we are united in the bonds of Christ by God's Holy Spirit. And so as we come to worship him, we will consider his word and pray that his word will be a blessing to us. Even in these strange lockdown situations when we are not able to meet together physically, the word of God is not bound, the word of God is not locked down, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so now let's come to the Lord and hear the Lord's call to worship from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Amen. Our song now is O God, Beyond All Praising. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we may worship you. For you, O Lord, are spirit, and you're not confined to any one place, and we may worship you outside of the normal building in which we worship you. And O Lord, though we would long to be together again, to worship you together as your people again, yet we bring to you our worship now in this way and pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayers, that you will accept our worship. Our Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. You are a great and a mighty God and far more able to do above and beyond anything that we can even imagine. And, O Lord, you are far more able to save us sinners, to turn our stony hearts into hearts of flesh, hearts of love towards you. And we pray now, Lord, that you will accept all of our worship as an act of love towards you. And we pray too, Father, that you will speak to us through your word and that we may hear your word. We pray, Father, that the word will be life to us by your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life. We pray too, Father, that your word will be a comfort to us and a help to us, and especially perhaps to any who are feeling the difficulties of this lockdown situation. And we pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayers too as we pray to you as the people of God. And so we come to you, Lord, and pray for your blessing upon us. And our Father too, we pray that you will forgive our sins, knowing, O Lord, that we are your children, knowing that we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, but also knowing, O Lord, in our own minds and our own consciences, that we have sinned against you in the things that we haven't done, or the things that we have done, or the things that we haven't said, or the things we have said. And, O Lord, we pray that you will forgive our sins. Our Father, we pray that that separating wall that divides us from you, that it has been knocked down in Christ, but we pray, Lord, that we will not rebuild that wall by our own sinning. And so we ask, Lord, also that you will forgive us through the death of Christ upon the cross, but also that you will help us and help us not to sin against you. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to the children now, and I've got a quiz for you children. So we are going to look at some pictures, and I want you to say what they are. Now, they're all things to do with the people of God entering into the promised land. And I'll put an answer slide on right at the end of the service. But if you listen very carefully, when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll hear all of these things mentioned that the people are going to get when they go into the promised land. So what are these? These two here. These are crops. Maybe you'd like to ask your mum and dad to help out too. These are beautiful fruit trees. So there are two sorts of crops, and the beautiful fruit trees, there are one. Three. Now, some of these fruits you might have only seen in the supermarket, and you might not have seen them growing here, but they would grow in the land that the Lord was giving to his people to enter into. What's this? And I know that you'll know what this is, but this is part of the quiz too. And what are these things here? What can you do with these things, do you think? Oh, you can make something out of it like this. And what's this? The Lord told the people that they could dig this out of the ground when they got into the promised land. It would be hard work, but they could dig it out of the ground, and they could make beautiful things and very useful things as well with this. What do you think it is? Well, we'll have the answers to the quiz at the end of the service. But also, if you listen very carefully to our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll be able to see what they are. But God was going to give all of these things to his people when they went into the land. Remember, they had lived in the desert, and they had not food except the Lord had given them the manna day by day. And they had not water except that the Lord had given them specially water out of the rock. And he fed them and gave them to drink all those 40 years that they were in the desert. But when they came into the land that the Lord had promised to them, there was all these beautiful things that was there. They could grow them, and they could dig them out of the ground. They could make things with them, and it would be very useful for them. and they were to thank God for all that he had given to them. And we too are to thank God for all that he has given to us. We perhaps don't make things from the raw things, but we can go to the shops normally and buy all sorts of things that are made from these things. And we can go into the supermarkets as well and buy all sorts of food that the Lord is providing for us. So we should accept all of these things as coming from God himself. And we should give thanks to God. Yes, it is good to give thanks to God for all the good things that he's given to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you look after us day by day, that you give to us our daily food, that you enable us to work, that we may earn, and that we may buy things in the shops. We thank you too, our Father, that you look after us as a Heavenly Father. And we thank you too, O Lord, that you are looking after us too during this unusual time when there is a lockdown situation. And we pray that you bless us during this time. And we thank you, O Lord, for all the good things that you give to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our song now is My Song is Love Unknown. song is love unknown, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. In Christ our Saviour, let's come to the Lord to pray. And as we come to pray, we should remember Tanya's parents. So her father is Alexander and her mother is Ludmilla. Her father has had a stroke in the Ukraine, and he's recovering from that. So we give thanks that he is recovering from that. But pray for him and for Tanya's mum, to Ludmilla, that they may know the Lord's strength at this time, and for Tanya's sister, who's helping them too at this time. And we pray for Dave's mum too. Dave's mum had a fall and she broke her hip. She's been in surgery and wonderfully has been able to have some surgery without a general anaesthetic, but with epidural anaesthetic. And she's now back home and recovering there. So let's pray for Dave's mum and for his dad too, as he cares for her. And we continue to pray for Lynn Marie too, that she may be able to absorb and to take the anti-cancer medicine that she's having, and that also that there will be good anti-nausea medication available for her. Let's come to the Lord to pray. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for your amazing goodness to us. But most of all, we give you thanks for Jesus, our Saviour, that he came into the world to die upon on the cross for our sins, and that he has made full atonement for us. We thank you that in him there is life, in him there is light, and you have brought us to life, and that you have given us light, that we might see our way in the world, and that we might know you. Our Father, we do thank you for your providences to us. Thank you, O Lord, for the measure of health and strength that you've given to each one of us. We pray that we might use that in your service. Thank you, O Lord, for the land that we live in, this land of relative plenty. And compared to some of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, this land of great plenty that you have given us to live in. And Father, we pray that we may make return of praise and thanks and obedience to you for all the goodness that you have shown to us. We do lift Tanya's parents to you, Father, especially her father, Alexander. We pray, Lord, that his recovery from the stroke will continue. We pray for Tanya's mum, Ludmilla, that you will help her and bless her too at this time. And for Tanya's sister, as she has gone to help them from her home in Kiev. So we commit them to you. We pray for Dave's mum. Oh Lord, thank you that she could receive prompt medical attention and this surgery. And we thank you that she is at home recovering too. So we commit her to you. We lift Lynn Marie to you, Father. And we commend our sister Lynn Marie to you, Father. We pray that there will be a good anti-nausea medication for her that will enable her to take the medication that she's taking for the ongoing treatment. And we pray, Lord, that you will draw her close to yourself, that you will strengthen her. We lift Dion and the children to you too at this time, O Lord. And Father, for others who may be sick at this time, we pray your blessing upon them and pray your hand of healing be upon them. And Father, we do commend ourselves to you as your people, that you will cause us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and cause us to grow in his grace too, that we may more fit the image of Christ, that we may grow to be more like him. Father, we pray for the government and the coronavirus outbreak, and as the regulations are beginning to be relaxed, we pray, Lord, that the outbreak will not again reassert itself. We pray that there will not be a second wave of infections. And we pray, Lord, for us all, that you'll grant to us patience at this time. And as the regulations are lifted gradually, we pray, Lord, that you'll grant safety and help. We do pray too, Father, for coronavirus outbreak in other countries besides our own. We pray, Lord, for your help for those other countries. And we do especially lift the nations of the world to you that do not have a developed health system. And through your great providence, Lord, we thank you for the NHS and for those who work for the NHS. But for those countries without a developed health system, Lord, we commit these to you and pray for the citizens of those countries that they may be helped at this time of virus outbreak. We pray for the work of missions, and as we said, Lord, your word is not bound, even though perhaps our restrictions, our movements are bound, we have restrictions. So we pray, Lord, that you will give extra opportunity for those whose task it is to spread your word and to preach the gospel. We do commit the overseas students to you, Father, those whom we know who have gone back to their home countries. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with them there in their home countries and that they will remember the things that they have learnt of you here, and we commit them to you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the scriptures now. We'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 1 to 20. It's a continuation in our series in Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees, and of pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is at this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and forget the Lord and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. Because so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. The Lord bless his word to us. Moses recalls the ways of the Lord with the people as they travelled through the desert these 40 years or so previously to this. And he shows them the purposes that God had in giving them that experience, of taking them through that experience in the desert. The years in the desert have been a preparation for them, a preparation for living in the land. There's a certain amount of repetition, as we've noted, as we go through Deuteronomy. Moses is like a good teacher, repeating the main points, making sure that these will ring in the ears of those who hear, and making sure that they will remember them. And so Moses repeats the main points as he goes through his farewell speeches to the people here in Deuteronomy. But there is also a progression in the things that he says. And the whole thought progresses here that, yes, they have been in the wilderness. Yes, the Lord has provided for them. But that preparation, that time in the wilderness, is a preparation for them as they go to live in the land. And so we see the discipline of the wilderness. And then we look at the land that they are entering. And then we look at remembering the Lord in the land. The discipline in the wilderness, it's there in verses 1 to 6. Although the people's time of wandering in the wilderness was a result of their own sinfulness and their own rebellion against God, a result of their refusal to go into the land, you can read about it in Numbers 13. Yet God's way with them, in God's economy, it was also a useful time to train them before they went into the land in order to live as his people in the land. God will use the events in our lives too, in order to train us, to disciple us, to discipline us. Those two words, discipline and disciple, are really very close together. When the Lord is disciplining us, he's causing us, he's treating us as his disciples. And so he is training us, showing us the way to live, drawing us closer to himself, enabling us to come closer to him. Their training was moral and spiritual. It was not so much a training like an apprentice in a useful trade, although they would have learnt to live together as a whole people of God. But they are being discipled, and even though they had got themselves in that fix in the first place by refusing to enter the land, the Lord was using it for good. It's the same with us too. We can look back in our lives and perhaps think, I shouldn't have done that. I got myself in a real fix because of that. But we can also see that the Lord, in his goodness and in his way of doing things, his economy, that the Lord used it for our good, to train us, to draw us closer to himself. They were in training in the desert to be the people of God, the citizens of the land he was leading them into. And one of the things they were trained in was to look to God for everything. He gave them the manna. Remember, there was, of course, no food in the desert, and they complained to the Lord that they had no food. And so the Lord sent the manna overnight. The people went out in the morning and they pointed to it and they said, Manhu, Hebrew, what is it? And so it came to be called manna. And the Lord gave them this night by night and enough on the day before the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day as well, so that they did not have to go out and gather on the Sabbath. And the very time, it says in Joshua, the very time that they entered into the promised land, the manna stopped. And it was a harvest time. And so they were able to eat of the produce of the land when they went in. But God was showing them that he would provide for them. And he tells them here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that they are not to live by bread alone, but by everything that comes from God. One of the major things that they were to learn, and this will take us to the Lord himself, to the temptation in the wilderness himself, where the devil tempts him after his fast. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus answers with this quote from Deuteronomy 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we are not to live, to think of our lives so tied up with material things that they make our life. No, our life is tied up with God. He is our life. We are to look to him for everything. And he humbled them with hunger, that he should feed them and that they should know that he is able to feed them. They were to look to God as their father. And this verse is taken up in Hebrews chapter 12. The writer tells us, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Quoting from Proverbs. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, one of the great understatements of Scripture. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And the Lord here was treating his people as his sons and daughters, and he was disciplining them or discipling them by their time in the desert, that they might live as his people when they get into his land. God will often humble us so that we may learn to rely upon him, to learn that we don't live by bread alone, the things of this world, but by everything that comes from him. And to learn that he is a father who is training us, that we might be more fruitful and that we might bear fruit for eternity. And then the land that they were entering, Moses turns his attention and perhaps gazes to the horizon, towards the direction that they are going in. The land that they were entering is verses 7 to 10. It's a beautiful land. It's a productive land. It's a land of plenty that will yield its crops to their hard work in agriculture, that will yield its minerals to their work in mining the iron and the copper, and that will yield itself to all the manufacture, yield itself to all the manufacture. They were going into this beautiful, productive land. It's a land that had been promised to the patriarchs. And there they would be God's people. And there it would be leading on to the birth of Jesus, who would be born in this beautiful land many years ahead. But the Lord was preparing for all of this by sending them in. They would eat and be full, but it would lead them to bless God. We should be thankful to the Lord for all the material blessings that he's given to us. We too live in a land of plenty. We should be thankful daily that the Lord has given us so much in this way. And even in this time of lockdown, even in this time of perhaps restrictions and stringent conditions, the Lord has kept the food supply chains going. There is food in the shops for us. And we thank the Lord for this, as well as appreciating those whose work it is to provide it. We rejoice in the Lord for all of his provision for us. And during their time in the wilderness, they were being trained to relate their whole lives to God. They had to rely on him 100%, and they had to carry that over into the land in which they were going. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And let's not forget that when the Lord does give us our daily bread, let's not forget to return thanks and praise to him who has provided it for us. Our thankfulness to God should be real and earnest and profound, and not just for our daily bread, but for everything that the Lord has given to us. And for our salvation in Christ, and for the provision for our souls, as for our bodies too. And then they were to remember the land, remember the Lord in the land in which they were going into. It's verses 11 to 20. They would presently enter into the land, but they should learn from the wilderness years. The training and the discipline there would stand them in good stead when they entered into over the Jordan. And the danger there would be from human natural pride. And as the years went by, and as they were able to farm the land, as they were able to mine the minerals, as they were able to manufacture all sorts of things and enjoy them, and as they were able to build good houses for themselves, it says in Deuteronomy here, as they're able to live in the land, the temptation would creep in for them to say, I did it. By my own hand, by my own intellect, by my own abilities, by my own power, I did it. But the Lord reminds them not to say that. He reminds them that all power they have to do all of these practical things, it all comes from him. Not only do the things themselves come from him, not only does the food and the minerals and the iron ores and the metal ores, not only do they come from him, but the ability to use them, to profit from them, comes from the Lord. It's very practical for us. We go out to our daily work, or perhaps we have done in the past and we are enjoying retirement. But we think back, or we think to our daily work, and we are pleased with the way we've done things, pleased with the way it's gone, glad that we've got paid for our job. These are not bad things. These are good things. But let us always remember that it all comes from God. The ability to do our everyday jobs comes from him. The ability not to make mistakes with what we do comes from him. His gifts come from him, and his power and his ability is his. And we should return thanks to God daily for this. What about succeeding generations to the people who'd gone into the land? Yes, they would recall firsthand the 40 years in the wilderness, and they would recall firsthand the manna. But what about the succeeding generations? What about them? Many generations down the line, How would this apply to them? Well, they will have on record what Moses has said to that first generation. And they will have the record of what happened to that first generation. And they would, as part of the festivals that the Lord had given to them, they would go out and camp outside for a week every year. It's called the Feast of Booths. As we tracked through Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah earlier, we would have encountered the Feast of Booths and how the people all went out and did as the law had commanded them, which they hadn't done for years and years and years. And they gathered leafy branches from the woods and brought them into town, and every bit of square in the ground, every bit of square in the city, and every street corner, they put up these booths, and they lived in the booths for a whole week. And the idea was that God was reminding them of the time that they lived in the desert and the time he brought them into the land. God would also send providences to them in their own time, their own generations, that would cause them afresh to rely upon him. So let us too remember. Let us too remember that it is God who gives us everything. I'm not advocating that we go on a week's camping holiday every year, but those of you who do, it makes us very appreciative of our houses when we get back. But let us remember that the Lord has given us everything that we have. He was treating them as children in the desert, and we are children of God, adopted by him alongside of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he treats us as his children in Christ. And as his children, we need that discipline. We need to be discipled. We need to be trained. And the Lord will see to it. But it is our part that we cooperate with him. Go along with that training that we might live as his people, as individuals and as a congregation of his people too. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, as the begotten Son of God, as a Son begotten, not made, but as a human being as well, he too learnt obedience. It says it there in Hebrews chapter 5. Let me read those verses for us. Hebrews 5, 7 to 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learnt obedience through what he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There's some mystery here, but Christ learnt obedience through what he suffered. There's never a hint that he would be disobedient, but he learnt what it was to obey. Through the suffering in reference to Gethsemane especially, but on the cross too. As a child of God, as a human being, as one of God's people, he learnt through what he suffered. So it is with us. We learn through what we suffer. May the Lord bless all suffering to us. It was not that Jesus was ever deficient. It was not that he ever knew there was something he never knew. But as to his human nature, he too must learn. And he learnt well. God heard his prayer. His sacrifice was acceptable to God. He became obedient to death. Philippians 2, to death, even upon a cross. God disciplines us for our good. In times of trial, even times of suffering, God is using it. He never wastes his people's suffering. Not a drop of it goes to waste. In God's economy, God's way of doing things. As we draw closer to him through it, he leads us on deeper into the land of promise, this land of living with him, and it will lead on to eternity. So here in Deuteronomy that we've been reading of, the people were disciplined by God in the wilderness. They were discipled, they were trained by God in the wilderness. And we too are subject to his discipline and discipling and training as children are to their father. God gave them a beautiful land in which to live, a useful land in which to live. The Lord has brought us into his own people, a beautiful thing. And we should praise him and thank him for this. And we must remember that God has given us everything. We must resist ever thinking that we can do it all ourselves, for we can't. For God works through the things, the gifts he's given to us, but yet everything we have comes from him. And to him be the praise and the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is true and infallible, and your word that builds us up. And we pray, Lord, that we may be built up by that word. And so, Lord, we do commend ourselves to you. We pray that we may be trained by you, Lord, that we may accept your discipline as sons and daughters of yours and be trained by you. And we pray, Lord, that we may accept that we might know you more and grow more to be like Christ, your only begotten Son. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn now is Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. And then, as I promised the children, we'll have this slide of the answers to the quiz. Now, may the Lord watch over you. May the Lord keep you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Through all the changing scenes of life. Goodbye.